What we found when we interviewed likely voters in our latest survey was significant support for legalization of marijuana. 61% of likely voters said they would support legalization for adults ages 21 and older. That's up 9 percentage points from our last survey in late September, early October. Opposition, 34% of likely voters say they oppose the idea. That's down 8 points from late September, when about 42% were opposed. So we've seen some shift in favor of legalization in the past few weeks.
And this comes at a time when opponents to legalizing marijuana have ramped up their campaign. They've been running a series of ads that highlight the possibility of a pot shop on every corner, luring children, and also an ad featuring the widow of a Massachusetts state trooper who was killed in a car crash that involved a driver who was allegedly high on medical marijuana. So those ads don't seem to have had an impact on the voter.
It doesn't appear that way from our data. And one question we were curious about was, Do attitudes vary by whether or not you have children under the age of 18? And so we asked that in the survey and cross-tabulated that against the results. Parents of children under 18, 63% of them favor legalization. That's compared to 60% of individuals who don't have children under the age of 18. And so that particular demographic does not seem to be moved by that powerful message from the opponents of legalization.
What is the demographic support for marijuana? Where's it coming from? Who's supporting legalizing marijuana?
Our latest results follow a classic set of divisions in public opinion on this issue. So Democrats and unenrolled voters tend to be more likely to favor legalization. One of the few groups where the majority oppose is Republican likely voters. We also see significant variation by age. Young voters ages 18 to 39 are far more likely to support legalization than older voters. Support goes down to the point where senior citizens are one of the few groups that oppose legalization. We see some gender differences as well. Men tend to be more likely to favor legalization than women, but a majority in both groups, men and women, favored legalization in our latest survey.
Question two, which if passed would raise the cap on charter schools in Massachusetts, is on track to become the most expensive referendum campaign in state history, with about $30 million being raised by the two sides. Who's getting their money's worth on this one?
Well, when we did the survey in late September, early October, it was a 13-point gap in the direction of opposing lifting the cap. It's a 13-point gap again. The numbers have shifted, though. People have moved from undecideds to taking positions. What we found, 52% of likely voters oppose lifting the cap on charter schools, 39% favor. Those numbers are up 5 points on either side. So the number of undecideds is shrinking, which you would expect as we get closer to the election. But the gap is the same. The gap is in favor of keeping the cap. 52% favor keeping the cap.
And who is supporting charter schools and who is opposing charter schools in this campaign?
The greatest distinction that we see here is along partisan lines. Republican voters, a majority of Republican voters, favor lifting the cap. Democrats oppose lifting the cap, and a plurality of unenrolled voters also oppose lifting the cap.
And the other two questions on the ballot, which...
We also, in the past, in polling on the charter school question, had seen differences by income and by race. In our polling in the spring, we found that people with lower household incomes were more likely to favor lifting the cap. There are no differences by income this time around. In our late September survey, we found non-white voters more likely to favor lifting the cap. There are no real differences by race this time around. Both white and non-white voters are more likely to say keep the cap on the number of charter schools.
The other two questions that are on the ballot haven't received as much attention as marijuana and charter schools. One has to do with the caging of farm animals that are used for food production, and the other has to do with allowing for the licensing of an additional gambling facility, a so-called slots parlor in Massachusetts. What did you find on those two questions?
What we found on the question regarding the conditions under which farm animals are raised is significant support. Two-thirds of likely voters favor requiring that calves, pigs, and hens be housed in facilities where they can move freely. That's just up a few points from the late September survey. What we found on slots parlors was that 50% of likely voters oppose licensing a second slots parlor in the state. Only 32% are in favor. But we also found 17% of voters are still undecided on that question. And our interviewers time and time again encountered voters who didn't understand what a slots parlor is. And I think that's driving the very high number of undecideds. This close to an election, it's very unusual to see that in the double digits. The actual ballot question that the voters will see on Tuesday has an explanation of that term and much more information than you can get in a survey question. So those numbers could change a good bit when we actually see the votes come in on Tuesday.
There's never been any suspense in Massachusetts as far as the outcome of the presidential voting here. Did your survey find any shift in support for Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump based on the announcement from the FBI director last week concerning additional emails being discovered that need to be reviewed?
Our survey spanned the period of time before and after the letter from the FBI director, James Comey, and so I ran a statistical test to see if there was a difference in the sentiment we were getting after versus before. I didn't find any differences. What we see is a 30-point race in Massachusetts, and we had seen a 32-point race in late September, early October. What we found in the latest survey was that 56% of likely voters say they will vote for Hillary Clinton, and 26% said they would vote for Donald Trump, 8% said they would vote for the Libertarian Gary Johnson, and 3% for Jill Stein, who is on the Massachusetts ballot under the Green Rainbow Party. Let me point out, this being the first time we've had systematic early voting in Massachusetts, of our sample of 417 likely voters, we include 73 voters who had already voted by the time we had reached them. They had voted by absentee, by early ballot. And so they're in that vote total as well. So 30-point race now. It was a 32-point race at the end of September, early October. The numbers haven't shifted a whole lot there. Democrats have carried Massachusetts by anywhere from 22 to 26 percentage points in recent cycles. To find a 30-point margin of victory, you'd have to go back to 1996 when Bill Clinton carried Massachusetts by 33 points. So the question remains, can Hillary Clinton match the margin of victory that her husband had in his run for his second term? That's probably the only suspense in terms of presidential politics in Massachusetts.
I know you ask people who they, not only who they were supporting in the presidential race, but who they expected to win. And I believe that figure, the margin, was even higher for Secretary Clinton when you ask people who they expected would be the next president.
That's correct. So in the latest survey, 71% of likely voters said they expect Hillary Clinton to win the presidency. That's up from 64% 4 weeks ago. 15% said they expected Donald Trump to win. That's down from 20% 4 weeks ago. So although we've seen a lot of twists and turns in the race nationally and a tightening of the race, we're just not seeing those dynamics here in Massachusetts.
Is that number significant when you consider how people are going to react once we get the final results on Tuesday night or Wednesday morning, in terms of whether people will feel that the country can come together after what's been a very very divisive and some believe ugly election campaign.
I think a lot depends on the pattern of voting on Tuesday. If it's a very close race in parts of the country, then the question of legitimacy of the outcome, healing afterwards, that becomes more challenging. We did ask people in Massachusetts whether they felt the votes would be counted accurately across the country. And what we found, 55% were very confident that that would be the case. But we saw very strong differences between Democrats and Republicans. Democrats tend to be more confident than Republicans. Clinton supporters tended to be more confident than Trump supporters. And we also asked, how confident are you that the country can unite behind the winner? And a majority of Massachusetts voters said very or somewhat confident. But again, those numbers varied somewhat by party and by the candidate that voters were supporting. Clinton supporters and Democrats are somewhat more confident in the country being able to come together after the election than are Republicans and Trump supporters.